Hello from Bethel Church Choctaw. We pray that today's message blesses you and truly inspires you to draw closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Please visit our website at www.bcchoctaw.org and enjoy the message today.
Let's pray and get into this. I have a short message for you. So it won't be long, but I believe this is what God wants for us today, and it's actually begun to change my life this week. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for your anointing and everything that you are doing in this body. And I pray that your will continues to happen in this service. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So there were these two elderly gentlemen at the nursing home, Roger and Homer. And Homer looks over at Roger and says, Roger, do you have a good week? Homer said, yeah. Or Roger said, yeah, I had a pretty good week. Me and the wife started taking memory helps classes. During the week, we have this class. It's a memory helps class. Homer says, well, that's interesting. Maybe me and my wife should start doing the same thing. What's the name of the class? Roger looks around a little bit. He says, what's that rose? I think, or what's that flower? He said, I think it's usually red, has the thorns on it. Homer said, you mean a rose? Yeah, yeah, that's it. Rose, what's the name of that class we've been taking? Remember. So we began to discuss that this week, the communion. Keith talks to us about remembering the sacrifice that was made for us. And we were talking about it this week. God began to impress upon me about remembering. Seems like a general, simple topic. But I did some study and I found some things. It's just was kind of amazing to me. I wanted to share with you. I find that it's more valuable in activating my memory in a positive way. A correct and true memory will assist me in living in the identity that God has for me. You see, our enemies like to use our memory. They bring up bad memories. They bring up our troubled past through shame, guilt, sometimes fear. But God reminds us that that past was cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Even though we may not be perfect and we're flawed individuals going through this journey together, sometimes incorrectly, sometimes we have to remember God loved us in our darkest times to make that sacrifice. And we still have a new identity in Christ that we need to begin living into. So I found an example in 1 Samuel 17. And I'll set this up while you're going there. 1 Samuel 17. Little shepherd boy David, his dad sends him to see his brothers at the place of battle. And he's got some food for them. And David goes up there. And of course, you know, there's this huge Philistine giant that is taunting and saying bad things about Israel. David hears that. He doesn't like it. David says this in verse 26, 1 Samuel 17, 26. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? David says, oh, no, he didn't. Verse 28, that was David's attitude. Let's go on to verse 28. Eliab is David's brother. His oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. Now I want to skip to verse 32. David told Saul, I'll fight this guy. Verse 33, then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Here's what's happening. David is facing a battle, a giant of a battle. And he confesses that he's gonna take him on. Let's do this. His brother brings up the past and points out to him how he, and it's probably a true past. We know he was a shepherd. And his brother says, you naughtiness of heart, and you're prideful, and he's all mad at him. And it could be true that David was so prideful as a kid. Maybe he had some problems with that. Maybe he was a naughtiness of heart. So he brings up his past. Saul doesn't necessarily bring up his past, but he looks at him and he says, in looking at you, you are too young. He brings up his current physical ability, his current physical appearance. What others are going to bring to you may not exactly line up with what God wants to bring to you in order for you to win your battles. Let's see what David does in verse 34. David's talking to Saul. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. And David said, the Lord, I'm going to skip to 37. We know the story. David's telling Saul everything that went on about how God saved him and used him to conquer the lion and the bear and get his lamb back. 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So while his brother's bringing up his past and his failures, and while his king is bringing up his current state, what he physically looks like at the time, David says, I'm going to win this battle because God has helped me win this battle before. He brought up something from the past in a positive way that was now going to send him into victory in this current battle that he's in. Amen? David began the fight of his life in his mind by remembering and confessing the mighty works of a loving God. That is where the battle began. And isn't it true that our battles also begin there? Think about the battles that we face. Fear starts in the mind. Guilt, shame, even temptation to sin. People don't just accidentally, uh-oh, I did it again. It doesn't happen. Oops, I did it again. There is some thought process that goes into this before you just accidentally do this. It begins in the mind. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul's talking about a battle. He's talking about weapons. He's talking about strongholds. He's talking about the enemy. This is a battle. This is a fight. And the very next verse says, casting down imaginations or speculations, as some translations say, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What does the knowledge of God say about you? What does the Bible say about you? That's the knowledge of God. So anything that comes to mind that doesn't line up with what the Bible says about you is trying to exalt itself against it, and we're supposed to take that thing into captivity and cast that away. When you gather something into captivity, you are in control. Paul says, control your thoughts. Bring those thoughts into captivity. into the obedience of Christ. Battles begin in our mind. Sin, guilt, shame, and fear, it all originates in our thinking. So bringing memories to the forefront of our mind like David did, especially, and I'm talking about the good memories, the things that God has done for us in our past. And things that God has done for other people even, for our church. Those things. It relieves us of the negative thoughts that try to occupy our thinking. We have to guard our minds. What we think about. What is it that rolls over in your mind constantly on those nights that you are trying to get to sleep and can't? We have authority to bring those into captivity. And one of the things Paul says that we're supposed to do is occupy our thoughts with good things. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If we keep these things at the forefront of our minds, we'll have less time to think about the negative, the stress, the trouble, the shame, the sin. This will affect our attitudes with God, and it'll affect our attitudes with everybody else. I've tried it, especially this week after this study, because sometimes things come to me, thoughts that aren't good, thoughts of my past or guilt or whatever, and I'm like, goodness sakes, I am so not worthy to be pastor. I thought pastors were supposed to be perfect. Yeah, okay. And so I have to take those thoughts. I realize, I'm like, ooh, Jeff, what are you doing? Stop that. That's not what my brain is supposed to be thinking about right now. And I begin to think about, God, I'm so thankful for my wife and our relationship and our marriage and our boys and their wives and this church and my friends and just everything. I begin to think about all of the things that God has done for me, and pretty soon I realize I'm not thinking about those negative thoughts that Satan was trying to come and attack me with. Amen? Remembering, get this, has now become one of the building blocks of the spiritual world. It's one of the elements. It's a source of power. You know, we talked about last week, love is actually a source of power. It's an element. Like we have elements in the physical world, it's an element of our spiritual world. Things happen when you love. Things happen and change when you remember, when you recall the great things that God has done, when you recall the sacrifice that Christ made to give you a new identity, it will change your attitude. Now, you may be familiar with the armor of God, various parts of armor that equates to a spiritual element. I want to think about the helmet of salvation. The helmet's, this is where things begin to kind of tie together for me. I was excited. The helmet's function is to protect the brain, your mind, your head. In the spiritual realm, the helmet of salvation protects our mind, our thinking. Okay? The helmet of salvation. Our spiritual helmet is made of salvation. Now, here's what's interesting. Salvation actually alludes to a positive past. Think about it. Salvation doesn't exist if you're never in bondage. Your chains, your bondage, your sin happens, and then you were saved. You can't be saved from something if you were never in bondage by something, right? So even the word salvation alludes to a memory of being saved and placed in a good situation from a bad situation. Salvation, the helmet of salvation, is the protection of our minds, which is where the battles begin. And it works by remembering. just the word salvation by definition. We have to remember, like the song said, I once was blind. We sang that today. Now I can see. I used to be a wretch. Now I'm not. I'm a child of God. I once was lost. Now I'm found. That's salvation. That's remembering. That's the helmet that we have that will protect our minds and our thinking from attacks from the enemy. Hallelujah. How about that? So it's a big deal. A spiritual force that can bring peace, life, love, miracles, victory. Philippians 2:5, Paul writes this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. Now, I've heard some recent studies lately that I thought was interesting on this topic. Neurologists have found that your brain activities are more likely to follow a set pattern of travel from one place to another. In other words, when the brain reacts to a situation, electrical impulses will follow the path most traveled. So, if fear or negativity is the path most traveled in your brain, when you're up against something, that will be your first line of thinking. Absolutely. However, if you train your brain, or in other words, like Paul says, bring your thoughts into captivity in line to the obedience of Christ. If we train our brain, then my first line of thinking will be positive. It'll be spiritual, be miraculous and loving instead of fear, judgment, shame, and worry. Now remember, we're not supposed to live in our memories, but we're supposed to remember God's greatness so we can continue to accomplish great things in the future. Remembering those positive things to get us through the battle, just like David did. I love the scripture. We sing a song about it in Psalms 103, second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. There is power and there is importance in remembering all that God has done for us and blessed us with. Don't take it lightly. It could very well save your life. Train your brain to remember his reign. Train your brain to remember his reign. Say that with me. Train your brain to remember his reign. So when things come against you, when thoughts enter your mind that all of a sudden you realize that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that doesn't line up with the identity that Christ has bought for me, that doesn't line up with what I'm supposed to be thinking about, it doesn't meet Paul's requirements in Philippians 4:8, lovely and pure in those. When you catch those thoughts sneaking in there, because they will, our battles start here and we're going to have battles. We train our brain to immediately go, nope, I'm thinking positive. What does the Bible say about my situation? And then you go and find out. Paul says, Jesus is leading us into triumph. We are more than overcomers. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. So I have no worries in the world. Amen? Train your brain to remember his reign. If you would stand with us, please. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We thank you. And in by that, we are thinking about all of the wonderful things that you've done for us. We're thinking about your sacrifice, the torture and death of our Savior Jesus Christ for our sins. We thank you for your grace, for giving us faith. We thank you for the Spirit, your Spirit that you've placed in each of us. We thank you for your love. Oh, we could go on and on. God, thank you. We just praise you. Help us to train our brains to think this way. Help us to realize the power that we have access to because of remembering your wonderful works and your acts of love.
Thank you again for listening to today's message. If you would like to hear another message, receive information about our pastors, or have any questions about who we are, please check out our website at www.bcchoctaw.org or give us a call at 405-390-2381. God bless you and have a great day.